This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
For the past three seasons of Gone South, we've covered one story per season. Now, Gone South is back for a fourth season. But this time, we're doing things a little differently. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Man, it's been a long time since we've seen our buddy Bryant West. He's semi-retired.
Oh.
He has. His pen is going in the Ring of Honor at the King's Herald website.
Great. Yeah, now they'll get articles out of me, but after 10 years of watching way too much college basketball and trying to find saviors for this team, I realized I couldn't watch that much college tape anymore.
I'm also guessing you didn't think you were going to have to cover this draft this year.
Oh, not at all. No, this entire year. Was there anybody in Sacramento that didn't think in their heart of hearts, oh no, that pick's going to Atlanta, it's not going to matter?
Yeah. Yeah,
even there through the first 2 minutes of the Pelicans game, I was like, we're good.
Well, he was cooking. So that 3 minute mark, man, it was up seven. I was like, yo, they got to go into the second quarter up seven or more.
Yeah.
And they ended up going into the second quarter down or up one, I think, or maybe up two. Yeah. And I said, this is not a good sign.
Not good.
Yeah.
Not good.
And I promise you, the third thought out of my brain when they lost that game was, well, damn it, now I actually have to care about this draft.
And that's the thing we've all kind of struggled with, like, because it's, okay, 13, everybody essentially wants them to trade the pick. And then it's like, all right, well, we knew in the Keegan, even though, you know, again, no revisionist history here, at the fourth pick, we thought they were going to trade it. We thought that pick had so much value, they were going to be able to get a mini haul for it, if you will. But even at that, we looked at Chet. We thought it was a long shot, but we looked at Chet. We looked at Keegan. We looked at Jaden. We spent a lot of time on those two guys. And we looked at Benedict Mathurin and maybe one or two other guys, but that was kind of it. Like, we were able to zero in on what we were doing. That is not what you can do with this draft.
No, absolutely not. At the end of the day, like, I still expect they'll trade this pick. Like, mm-hmm. I'm running right at that football, and I swear to the basketball gods, I fully expect that Lucy's just going to hold it there this time.
Well,
but like, the Kings have struggled to finish these. We almost had a deal trades, and if that's taught me anything, it's just to stop expecting the expected with this front office. So we can't ignore the draft pick. We can't ignore guys who might be in that draft range, but the draft is so weird this year, man. It's just so odd.
Well, to that point, this is what we do on today. We get random updates, we read them. Now it's Jake Fisher.
Okay.
Who says, NBA folks keep connecting Sacramento to various wings on the market. Kings registered interest in Dorian Finney-Smith before the trade deadline, sources said. Sacramento's been linked to Kyle Kuzma. The Kings were a potential Zach LaVine suitor, but that seems less likely without Alex Caruso. Mm. So he didn't like break news or anything, but he mentioned the Kings. He mentioned what's going on. I know he's, you know, higher profile than Evan Seedy or whatever the guy's name is.
There's a lot of shade on Evan. Evan didn't bother
they didn't
nobody.
Like Evan at all.
Well,
that
I
was
don't
crazy.
No, it was Kyle.
Well, no, then the chatting house got involved and was like, yeah, he's a bum.
Is he a bum?
I didn't know. They say he's a bum.
I didn't know.
Yeah, I think so. I trust Jake Fisher, too. Though, but Jake Fisher didn't say anything there that we didn't already know. Like, Kings are connected to wings and forwards and on the trade market. Like, okay.
Yeah, Jake. Thanks, really Jake. Working at sources there.
Yeah.
Nice job, pal.
No idea. About that.
So the question I always have with something like that is, Jake saying something that nobody doesn't already know, why are we wasting a tweet on that? Does he say, you know what, I gotta get this one.
Engagement, bro. Engagement. Oh, by the way, I'm sorry, Bryant. Because the term engagement's probably not going to come up the rest of the day. The nerve of that arrogant-ass Lakers coach to sit at that podium and talk about, what do you say, the engagement farming that he had been a part of in the media?
Oh, man, this guy.
Bro, you were front and center of that.
This guy.
For 2 years. What are you talking about? Like, how dare you talk down to the people there when that was you? Bro, you whack. I never had a problem with JJ, but that press conference, that dude is whack.
He's very pompous. Very pompous.
You've been saying everything I thought for the last couple of days. Like, he might be a great coach. He knows basketball. He clearly knows basketball. And plenty of good coaches have come from odder situations than this. But, man, is he just arrogant.
He's just an arrogant ass, man. let's have some fun here to start this, Bryant. Let's get under Kenny's skin, because that's really just what gets me through the day. Zach Edey.
Oh, well.
What do you think about Zach Edey and the Kings?
Zach Edey wouldn't be my choice if and when the Kings are on
the
market.
That's not what I was hoping you were going to say. I was hoping you were going to say, yes.
Trust me.
Let's go.
I'm getting somewhere. I'm not my George. He's not top of my board. I'm sure that I will have George. Multiple guys ahead of him, most of them wings and forwards that I think this team is in much greater need of. But I'll tell you, I wouldn't walk out of Tom's watch bar if he's their selection. I heard Jesse say earlier on the insiders that if they take Edey, they'd be taking a backup at 13. And even a few days ago, like, I'd have agreed with that and made the same argument. But over the last couple of days, and especially this morning, my buddy Tony Zipteris had an article on Edey over at the Kings Herald. I'm not so sure that we should just assume that he'd be a backup. Mm. He certainly would be early in his career. Like, if you take Edey in the lottery, you just shouldn't plan. The Kings should not plan for him just to be a backup long term. I completely disagree with anybody who says that you should be content with getting a backup at any position in the lottery. Mm-hmm. You got to aim higher than that. If he's a guy at 13, like, they need to have a long term plan in place to try to get him into lineups with Sabonis. And that wouldn't be easy. Like, it would mean they'd have to adjust their defensive philosophy. They'd have to play way more zone. Either Sabonis or Edey would have to really start shooting deep shots or three balls a lot more than they have to date. But, you know, maybe that's in the cards for Edey more than his college tape indicates. Like, Matt Painter sure didn't want him taking threes, but Edey was popping them at the combine. It's not an obvious fit, but I was on the Kings Herald show with Jerry Reynolds on Monday, and he pointed out, like, it's a good comp. Brook Lopez wasn't who he was when he came out of Stanford. Like, he'd only made three threes in his entire Stanford career.
That's wild.
Now he's one of the better deep shooting bigs of the last decade. So it's not impossible that Edey follows that path. I'll just put it simply. I wouldn't love the pick, but I wouldn't be as upset as I was the last time the Kings drafted a center at pick number 13 when they had an all-star center already on the roster.
Yeah.
Very specific.
Yeah. You're a real Kings fan if you get that reference.
Yeah.
Brian, I absolutely will walk out of Times Watch.
Oh, no.
Yeah, I'm gone. Oh. I'm gone. I'll see you guys tomorrow, if that's the case. Draft him at 13.
Wow.
Zachy, look, if you drafted him, you got an extra pick, and you drafted him at like 25. You drafted him in the second round as a project.
Can you imagine this team with two picks? What?
I don't think Bonnie wants to pretend and wants to imagine this team with two rookies.
Yeah, so I mean, I'm okay. We can do that at 13. This guy, in my opinion, I don't want to disrespect him. I was going to say he's a borderline NBA player. He's not that. You can have him in the league. But
so what is it with you? You guys just don't think he's good enough?
No, I don't. I don't think he. I think he get played off the floor on the defensive end. You put him in pick and roll situations all day. UConn put him in pick and roll situations all day and destroyed him. And yeah. I just yeah, I'm not a Zach Edey guy. He's gotten better as a basketball player over his time at Purdue. I see the improvement, and there's hell. I can hear the argument that, all right, he's going to be with NBA guys now, NBA coaches, and, you know, they can help him, you know, adjust to the NBA game. I can hear that argument, but from what I've seen right now, not interested in him at all.
Yeah. There are going to be a ton of wings and forwards that if the Kings are making a pick at 13, I'd much rather have than Zach Edey, that's for sure.
Bryant, you wrote about five players, five prospects over at the Kings Herald. Of the five, and we'll try to touch on all of them, of the five, do you have a favorite?
I think my favorite is also the one I think is most realistic at 13, and that's Daron Holmes out of Dayton. Mm. You watch him for any length of time, and he just makes so much sense. Mm. Put an excellent junior year together for Dayton, led them to the second round before they lost to Arizona, averaged 20 points, 8.5 rebounds, 2.1 blocks, shot 63% true shooting percentage. He was far and away their number one offensive option. He operated a lot with the ball above the perimeter, really got to showcase an improved driving ability and a pick and pop game from three, shot 38% from three. He just looks like a really high field player who would really fit this team. I think he could be a good complementary four man next to Sabonis, and could play some small ball five when he's on the bench. He's a little undersized for the position, but like he just seems like a heads up dude, plays with physicality, plays with heat. I'm out of touch on this. I definitely didn't watch as much tape as I have in the past. I just don't understand from what I've seen why he's not a lottery guy.
I'm Jed Lipinski. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
I like his game. I like what he did a lot during the season, and then just seeing some of the things he did in the tournament really piqued my interest as well. That's an interesting prospect for sure. What can you explain to people who either disagree or aren't as familiar? Why is a lot of the Kings community so locked in on Ron Holland?
Well, because we have a very specific type that we need in Sacramento. We need a four man who can protect the rim somewhat and shoot the three ball somewhat. And, you know, that's the kind of guys we've been looking for forever. Kind of in that Bobby Portis, Naz Reid kind of frame. Maybe seems hyperbolic to expect that he'd get to that point early in his career. But, you know, it's a very specific player type that you got to idealize next to Domantas Sabonis. And he sure looks like he's got both of those things. The big concerns I see from folks is that who's he guarding at the next level? Is he athletic enough to guard fours? And tape I saw sure looked like he was athletic enough. I don't know. He just seems like a really Monty kind of guy.
And there's the old Monty kind of guy. Did you have any names in your top five that you go, and this probably isn't a Monty McNair kind of guy?
Yeah, absolutely. And it's the guy if you ask my heart of hearts, who do I hope ends up a King at the end of the day? It's Ron Holland from the G League Ignite. Mm. That's who I want. He just doesn't seem like a Monty McNair guy. He's definitely more of a project player. You're betting on his athleticism, his motor and versatility to, you know, probably be an energy guy early in his career and then figure it out as it goes along. He's one of the youngest guys in this class, but man, when I watch that tape, he just pops, and he was doing it against grown men NBA hopefuls, averaging 19.5 points, nearly 7 rebounds per game, 2.5 steals per game. Shooting's a big problem. Deep shooting's a big problem. His decision making's a problem. But like on defense, he was matching up on the point of attack against so many different G League guys. Great physicality, tenacity. That motor's off the chart. He plays the exact position, exact role that we've been begging for this team to get forever. Like, we need a power wing in Sacramento. We need somebody who's got the size, got the toughness, got the athleticism, unlock this team at the next level. And I trust his defensive upside. I want to see how he develops the next level offensively. But, you know, if we were talking about a team in the, if the Kings were, you know, top five and they were bad again, it's probably not the guy that you want to take. But when you're a team like Sacramento, you've got the offensive pieces in place. You've got a smart offensive system. Ron Holland makes a lot of sense. Just bring him in. Let him be an ideal cutter next to Sabonis. Let him figure out the rest of his on-ball game as it goes along. He's the guy I really hope they take at 13. I'm not expecting it, but that's the one that would make me go crazy tonight.
Is it worth having any conversation about Jared McCain? You wrote about him, but there's a pretty big caveat in there about that write-up in the study that you did on the Sacramento native.
I like Jared McCain a lot. And before Malik Monk came back, like, I could squint and see how it would work. I hope he excels at the next level. He seems like a great young kid, shot incredibly well, 41% from three, and high volume. Carried Duke in the second half of the season. Rebounds at a great clip for his size. I'm gonna be happy for a Sacramento kid. But no guards. Absolutely no guards. Like, this team wasn't able to find consistent minutes for the guards that they've collected over the past 3 years until injuries kind of forced their hand to end the season. And if you're taking a guard, man, you have to be ready. You have to have a deal in place to be able to get existing guards out of the way, or just what are we doing here? It's not helping the young kid. It's not helping the guards on your roster. It's not helping you get depth at positions where you've needed them for years. And a 6'2 guard, like the guards that are on this roster are already pretty undersized. So I hope he goes somewhere. I hope he excels. I really hope it's not the Lakers. That's my
OG Anunoby intends to sign a 5-year $212 million contract to return to the New York Knicks.
That boy got paid.
Asked and answered.
Ooh.
OG Anunoby is back in New York, and I am not that man's agent, but I'm guessing OG Anunoby is back in New York for right around what he wanted to get paid.
Is my math right? Maybe I didn't.
Yep.
Is this 40 yep. something million dollars a year?
Yep.
Yeah.
Hey, you know, that's your boy. Hey, they're going for it. They're going,
they
for,
going
it.
For it.
Don't be mad.
Randall
got to
be
it.
Gone.
Yeah, Randall. Well, Randall and my light skinned brother's gone.
Hartenstein.
I always get his last name wrong.
Hartenstein. Gone. Mitchell Robinson probably gone too. Kings might need.
What's Mitchell Robinson's status? Is he?
He's under contract, but I think he makes a good amount of money. Maybe you bring
they
him back.
Might have to keep him if they have to let Hartenstein go. Like, they may have to keep him just because they need a center.
I'm Jed Lipinski. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.